Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the rescheduled appointment of free speech because sometimes there's a miscommunication or something. But don't worry, it's happening. And it is happening with Mark Dankoff. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be on, and I guess we have all kinds of things to talk about. Events in Russia are still a little murky. I've been following some things in other locations and with other topics as well. So let's simply go in whatever direction you would like to go in.
Okay, well, the direction I want to go in is to finish shilling for RBN. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage. You can mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or you can phone it in to 1-800-724-2719. All right. Let's get it over with. I've been talking about these past, will be three shows. I've been talking a whole lot about the episode with the Wagner mutiny. I haven't played any Wagner yet, and I'm not going to. But without me saying anything, what is your interpretation of what went on?
Well, again, keeping in mind, I don't speak Russian or read it. I am not in Russia right now, and I'm relying upon the reports of other sources, people I generally rely on who are experts in the field to tell me what is happening. And, of course, that ranges from Alexander Dugan and Alex Christoforou over at the Duran, Scott Berletic, New Atlas.
Alexander Mercuris, not Alexander Dugan.
Oh, really? Did I say Dugan? Well, you can throw Dugan in there as well, because I monitor what he's been saying on Geopolitica as well as on Catahan. I'm a little punchy, by the way, because I had an emergency this morning taking my nephew's sick German Shepherd to the vet. He's presently running around in Europe. And then, of course, after I do this show, I got to run to my mother's hospice unit, and I've had two or three other situations where neighbors needed me. So I'm a little punchy today. But Alexander Dugan, we are reminded, does not work at the Duran. That is Alexander Mercuris. But throw Dugan in definitely as a trusted source that I certainly take a look at. I'll be mentioning later, by the way, folks, on Tubi, T-U-B-I, if you are one of the Tubi subscribers, Alexander Dugan's 2-hour documentary that was filmed in 2018 is now available, entitled The Wolf in the Moonlight. It is a fascinating personal discussion between Dugan and, I believe this guy's name is Nicholas Rooney, who conducted the interviews. Fascinating discussion, a lot of interesting scenes in it, interesting graphics, interesting quotes of Dugan's. I'll be saying more about this on the Dankoff Report on Friday on RBN, but take a look at that. But as we start looking, of course, at sources, South Front is another one that I take a look at, Intel Slava. And the list just goes on and on. Larry Johnson at Sonar 21. These are the people that I rely on. I have never been a Russian expert. I've never attempted to sell myself as one. But my interpretation is this. This Wagner group, this so-called private military organization, or PMO, that has been working with Russia in terms of this conflict in the Donbass, is headed up by one Yevgeny Prigozhin. Since discovered he's Jewish, by the way, that might bear some further investigation. But for quite some period of time, Prigozhin had been in a public beef that was entirely one-sided. He was constantly slamming the Gerasimov, the Russian chief of the general staff, and also the Russian defense minister, Sergei Shoigu. He was accusing them of all kinds of things, including deliberately withholding ammunition that should be going directly to the Wagner group in their struggle to take Bakhmut or Artemovsk. and a series of other things that became so shrill and so irresponsible, in my view, that I was amazed that the Russians continued to maintain their silence about this guy, that right after Bakhmut or Artemovsk was taken, I expected him to be somewhat relieved of his position at the Wagner Group, but it didn't happen. And then the next thing you know, as some more time elapses, we're hearing about the Wagner Group and a faction that Prigozhin was leading within the Wagner Group was on its way via convoy inside Russia to publicly protest the continued employment of the general Gerasimov, the chief of the Russian General Staff, and also Defense Minister Shoigu. This guy Prigozhin was trying to build this as some sort of protest or insurrection against them, not a coup d'etat attempt against Putin and the Russian government. That seems a little absurd to me to be making that kind of distinction. But nonetheless, Prigozhin claimed to have gotten within 200 kilometers of Moscow. Alexander Mercurius of the Duran does not believe he got that close to Moscow. He did arrive, however, in Rostov-on-Don, which is largely where he seemed to be parked because of all of the internal security measures, quite rightly, being taken by the Russian government to block his advance and to do other things in major Russian cities, including Moscow, to batten down the hatches until the extent of Mr. Prigozhin's activities could be assessed. In the meantime, as you probably know, Dr. Slattery, we then had Lukashenko, President Lukashenko of Belarus, offering to mediate between the Putin regime and President Putin on the one hand and Prigozhin on the other. This produced an arrangement where the Wagner Group turned around, where the Wagner Group went back where it came from, and where the deal that Lukashenko allegedly negotiated between Putin and Prigozhin resulted in the following. First of all, it's important to remember that, and I'm getting this information directly from the Duran and one or two other sources. A military summary is another one on YouTube you can take a look at. This was not the majority of Wagner Group fighters going along with Prigozhin in this. I've heard estimates of anywhere from 4,000 to 8,000 men, which is not insignificant, but there are approximately 32,000 fighters apparently in the Wagner Group. So depending on whose statistics one accepts in regard to how many men were involved in this, there were probably no more than, say, 20% of these Wagner Group fighters who got talked into this episode of Yevgeny Prigozhin's. The rest of the Wagner Group fighters clearly did not want to be involved. I think that that's highly significant. And in the end analysis, the deal was to park Mr. Prigozhin, at least for the time being, in Belarus for Wagner Group fighters who were not involved in this insurrection or whatever you want to call it, to sign up to become regulars with the Russian military, as the Wagner Group itself was being somewhat pulled apart or disorganized or disbanded. I'm not sure how accurate that is to say that they have been totally disbanded, but contracts were offered by the Russian government and by the Defense Department to all the Wagner Group fighters who had performed so well in Artemovsk and elsewhere in Donbass to sign up with the Russian regular military. And in the meantime, for those who were involved in this insurrection, it would seem that they are at least going to be given the opportunity to join Mr. Prigozhin, as near as I can tell, in Belarus, where, of course, the Russians are installing nuclear weaponry, tactical nuclear weaponry, as near as I can tell, under the auspices of the command and control of the Lukashenko regime. Now, what does this mean exactly? I think it means that Prigozhin, that his little episode was terminated within 24 hours. President Putin has gone public with the fact that every dime that the Wagner Group was receiving was coming directly from the Russian government. If I'm remembering the figures correctly, I think President Putin cited something like 83 or 84 billion rubles had gone into the support of the Wagner Group's activities under Prigozhin in Donbass. And at this particular juncture, it seems that the only real damage done was not to a, in my view, to a Russian regime that is absolutely solid, that has at least 80% of the public behind it, according to, I think, fairly reliable polls. This has not noticeably assisted Zelensky and his pals in their a war along the Zelensky line against Russian troops, especially in Zaporozhye and especially in Kherson region. And the Russians are apparently actually advancing in Kupiansk. So in terms of a military situation in Donbass, I don't think that this has impacted Russia at all. I do agree with Alexander Dugin that the basic negative impact of this in terms of this stunt that Prigozhin has pulled has been largely of optics and largely political, in the sense that the Western regimes and more significantly the Western media are trying to play this up as some coup d'etat attempt that had all manner of broad-based support behind it against the Putin government. That's clearly garbage. But if they want to believe their own propaganda, the concern certainly that Mercurius has at the Duran, and I share this, and I think Cristoforo at the Duran with what he was saying with Mercurius also agrees with this, is largely that it creates the climate potentially for Zelensky and his thugs to convince all of the Ziocons in Washington, on Capitol Hill, and both of the major political parties, as well as Sunak and his Zio thugs in the UK, as well as the all of the regimes of the EU, to continue sending Zelensky more weaponry and more money. We'll see if it plays out that way. That is the basic concern that the guys at the Duran have. And after watching that video with those fellows, as well as looking at South Front and Intel Slava and some of these European Insider and some of these other news services that I subscribe to, that's largely my view of this. But I would urge our listeners on National Bugle Radio today, and I'll have these news listings up for the Dankoff Report on Friday. There are some very ominous appearing articles in the Russia Today, the English language version, coming from people with impeccable Russian national security and think tank credentials who are discussing the possibility that tactical nuclear weapons may end up being employed in this conflict if NATO and Global Homo and Joe Biden and Sunak and the rest of these crackpots continue pushing the envelope. Now, again, these are not crackpot blogs of people that we don't know anything about just shooting their mouths off on the internet. If you look at Russia Today, right now, RT.com, I believe, you'll see these articles popping up. And this underscores that NATO is playing with fire. If it's not taking Putin seriously, if it's overblowing and overplaying this Prigozhin stunt of some days ago,
one of those articles on RT, and I forgot the name of the person who was. They were quoting several people, but the one of them at the top who was suggesting using tactical nuclear weapons was somebody whose title suggested that he was a very big shot. Either professor or director at a major university. So yes. not just some internet blogger.
Yes, exactly. And so when you see people with those kinds of no national security credentials in Russia and with both the Russian and English language Russian press writing these kinds of essays, I think we need to see this as a warning. A warning to the idiotic American government led by one Joe Biden, who, by the way, was saying yesterday that he was trying to assure his audience that Putin was losing the war in Iraq. So keeping in mind that that is the commander in chief of the United States speaking at that point, when you start looking at this, I find myself wondering Do people like Biden, who is in turn being advised by people like Nuland and Anthony Blinken and Sullivan and all the rest of the Zio cabal, do all these folks truly believe that this is a bluff on the part of the Russians? Do they truly believe that the Russians are just going to sit around and allow all of this advanced weaponry to continue being introduced into Ukraine? And of course, another major fear, and all of these different news sources that I have cited that I rely on to inform our viewers as to what seems to be transpiring, are of like mind that there is a great danger that this idiotic business of training Ukrainian pilots in Romania on American F-16 aircraft and the idea that continues surfacing of potentially having Polish troops intervening in Western Ukraine at some point, then I think if that kind of moronic thinking continues, we are then well on our way to World War III. And I believe
it's as if they're trying to set up a tripwire for Article 5 of is it Article 5 or Article 4 of NATO in order to bring the United States into a World War III through these alliance negotiations. I've got two specific questions for you. The second one, I don't want you to answer it first, but the second one is with, you know, there's speculation about whether or not there was U.S. or foreign involvement in this Prigozhin episode. And given that I believe the Russian nuclear doctrine includes threats, like existential threats to the Russian government, I think it has language in there. I don't know if there was any coordination or communication between Prigozhin and the American government, but you do have these New York Times reports that the American intelligence apparatus knew in advance that this was going to happen, which is getting really pretty close, and that could be playing with fire. So I'd like you to comment on that. But before that, I know you're familiar with Douglas MacGregor, and I've seen two or three of his comments on this past week, and he did specifically say that his interpretation of this is different from Alexander Mercurius's. He had a much more sympathetic view of what Prigozhin was trying to do, seems to accept the idea that it was a protest rather than an overthrow. But more than that, he was saying that people in the Russian military, people in the Wagner group, the military itself, in the Russian military in Ukraine, just wants to get this over with. That's what he was saying. And he referenced his own experience 30-something years ago sitting in Kuwait, waiting to be sent into Iraq, and just wanting it to be over with, wanting to do it. And you know, I was thinking that's actually kind of a tunnel vision, blind, nearsighted, or some other visually impaired way of looking at this. Putin is the president of a country, and he has to take into consideration the best interests of the country and not the short-term desires of the military. He's got a lot more to think about rather than just
make the world go away and get it off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say and make the world.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
And make the world.
He is the president of a country, and he has to take into consideration the best interests of the country and not the short-term desires of the military. He's got a lot more to think about rather than just how do I get the troops over with this soon. He has to consider what impact it's going to have on his allies in other countries. Economic allies, political allies, military allies, the chess game with the opponent, you know, whether this is going to trigger what kind of response. And on the one hand, Putin does have a reputation for erring on the side of caution, for sure. On the other hand, he has a track record of success. So what, before you get into whether there is foreign intelligence involved in this, what do you make of McGregor's attitude?
Well, I have profound respect for Douglas McGregor. I want to say that up front.
Yeah. And by the way, he's gone, like when he's talking about American domestic politics, he's gone so far as saying that the United States is under the control of rootless cosmopolitans who have no historical connection to this country.
Yeah. That, give us the J word, Douglas. No, anyway, I have profound, and I love what you just read there. General McGregor, Colonel McGregor is a great man in my view. I've never met him, but his history in the military, and I think his history of being a straight shooter as an analyst and often being right, on both military matters, international matters, and American domestic political matters. He is definitely a go-to source, and I should have mentioned him among all of these other people. Having said that, I think perhaps there is some truth to what he's saying from the vantage point that I think President Putin has admitted publicly that he made a major mistake in not intervening in all of this after the coup d'etat in Russia in February of 2014. Now, he was man enough to admit
The coup d'etat in Ukraine.
Yes. In February 2014 in Kiev, the overthrow of the Yanukovych regime by the Zio cabal. Alexander Dugin, by the way, was talking about this in this documentary on Tubi, The Wolf in the Moonlight, where Dugin was, he said this in 2018. This was 4 years after the coup d'etat and 4 years before his daughter's murder in Moscow that he was talking about this, that he felt that there should have been immediate intervention on the part of the Russian military in this Ukrainian situation right after the coup d'etat. And Dugin went on to emphasize that he is of 2018. And I think it's safe to say, based upon things he has written that I have read about just in the last few months in Geopolitica and also in Katahon, these are both Russian news sites. Dugin is a heavy influence in both of them. Dugin continues to be concerned about the number of Western liberals, quoting him, the number of Atlanticists around Putin that continue to stink up as far as Dugin is concerned. And those are my words at this point, not his, but to stink up the Russian domestic political landscape, as well as Russia's effectiveness in this Ukrainian military situation. Now, that may have some bearing on Colonel McGregor's observations about the frustrations of the Wagner Group people and of Prigozhin that might well be legitimate in regard to, hey, let's get this thing over with. Let's start really kicking a double slash in this situation. And, Wagner can be a major force in basically moving to the West Bank of the Dnieper River and beyond. If we've got the ammo, if we have the equipment, if there's a larger logistical line coming directly to Wagner and so forth and so on. This is kind of the classic thing to me that George Patton was frustrated by when he was put back in charge of the Third Army in the final drive to win the war against Hitler's Germany. The movie Patton, I think, properly depicts Patton being sick of a politicized Eisenhower who was trying to placate all fashions. Patton was sick of General Montgomery, and there's a whole history behind that. And at one point, George C. Scott, playing Patton, says, and I think this is an accurate depiction of what Patton actually said in the situation, Patton was showing his own aide, Lieutenant Colonel Codman, played by Paul Stevens, was showing Lieutenant Colonel Codman the map, and they're out there in the burned out wreckage of this horrible tank battle that had concluded just a few hours before. And Patton said two things to Colonel Codman. He said, Cod, he said, you know how I know they're finished out there, meaning the Germans. He said, it came to me last night in my dream. He said, this business of carts, he said, this business of transporting the wounded in carts. So that's the sort of thing, if I'm remembering the dialogue correctly from the movie, that characterized Napoleon's snowbound retreat from Moscow. Patton had seen the same thing in this dream the night before and had referenced it. And he pointed to several instances that were right out there in this battlefield where the Germans had been trying to move some wounded and some dead by these wooden carts. And then Patton went on to say to Lieutenant Colonel Codman, he said, I can be in Berlin in 10 days.
Anytime you're feeling lonely, anytime you're feeling blue.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? And what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
He pointed to several instances that were right out there in this battlefield where the Germans have been trying to move some wounded and some dead by these wooden carts. And then Patton went on to say to Lieutenant Colonel Codman, he said, I can be in Berlin in 10 days, except for all I need is a few miserable gallons of gasoline. And I think that taking that movie in 1970, going back to what the real Patton was frustrated by in 1944 and very early 1945, undoubtedly, I would imagine that Colonel McGregor would agree with this, that that also reflects something of Prigozhin's legitimate frustrations in all of this. And this guy is a very, very complicated character to me. On the one hand, he is not a combat commander. He has no military command experience whatsoever. He's a billionaire. He's Jewish. And he is someone who, nonetheless, has been a very, very charismatic character in firing up these Wagner Group guys to get their job done in the Donbass for Russia. Now, I think if Prigozhin has an Achilles heel, and he does have one, it is that, to me, he has almost an attention deficit syndrome going on. He is extremely narcissistic. And any legitimate beefs that he may have had, and I emphasize may have had, I'm not a military man, much less a Russian military man. Who knows how much validity there really is to his beefs with both the Gerasimov and Shoigu. But nonetheless, you're in war. You don't do that kind of thing publicly to the head of your Defense Department. You don't shoot your mouth off publicly about what you're thinking about the chief of your general staff. You know, you communicate with these guys privately and in any kind of blue language you wish, in the most graphic terms possible, where you're combining George Patton potentially with Prigozhin. But nonetheless, Prigozhin, where he really, you'll pardon my expression, screwed the pooch, was not only continuing these irresponsible public outbursts against the Russian military leadership, which, whether Prigozhin likes this or not, indirectly is a criticism of President Putin and his overall government. I don't see how one can escape that conclusion. And whatever his legitimate beefs may well have been, and I'm prepared to believe he had some legitimate beefs in all of this, because I'm no gradualist myself when it comes to my understanding of war. I'm kind of a combination of General Patton and Kurt LeMay sitting behind my desk drinking a beer. But nonetheless, as one of the great military analysts of all time, that does reflect my understanding of the way a war is going to be conducted if, God forbid, you have to fight one. So I feel for Prigozhin, but he really screwed the pooch on this, and two-thirds of his own Wagner fighters did not go along with him in what he was doing.
Three-fourths.
So, three-fourths? Yeah.
Yeah. 8,000 out of 32,000. So, all right. You mentioned that Putin, I hadn't heard this. I'm not that surprised, though. But Putin is saying that he had made a mistake by not acting immediately in 2014.
Yes.
And that's very interesting. It's very interesting he would say that and he would think that. Now, some things have changed since 2014. One thing that hasn't changed between now and 2014 is the people that he would be facing on the other side, Victoria Nuland. And she was the architect of the 2014 Maidan coup in Ukraine. And Anthony Blinken and Wendy Sherman were her immediate superiors at the time, and they are again. Joe Biden was the as vice president was the Ukraine czar, viceroy. That was the term that Stephen F. Cohen used to refer to Biden. Obama had given him the Ukraine portfolio.
Absolutely.
Now, had Putin actually acted militarily at the time, I suppose that Obama would have involved himself directly. And was Leon Panetta the defense secretary at the time? So other personalities would have gotten involved. But but one thing that's different between now and 2014 is the preparedness of the Russian economy for sanctions, because Russia was hit with sanctions in 2014 for simply annexing Crimea. It was hit with sanctions, and Vladimir Putin embarked on a policy of import substitution, where they would no longer rely on imports for so many. You know, they were relying on imports for toothpaste and all sorts of stuff. Anything you can imagine, but anything that Russia could manufacture, it started to manufacture, and its relationship in 2014 had the economic sanctions hammer come down on Russia as hard as it did in 2022. Could Russia have withstood it? Would China have stood by Russia? Would India? So a lot of things have changed. So I don't know how that would have worked.
Exactly. I think you've made that excellent point before, Dr. Slattery. In retrospect, I see Dugin's perspective on this. In retrospect, I think I understand the frustrations of Prigozhin with some of this. But again, Putin was weighing all kinds of economic and political and diplomatic considerations at that time, without a doubt. And to the extent that Putin miscalculated the level of evil and I mean evil that he was up against, not simply with the people that produced the Zyokhan coup d'etat in Kiev, but the level of evil that he would be up against trying to negotiate with several successors to the Yanukovych regime. He ended up in what he did say about what he should have done in 2014. I think that was his way of saying, I just didn't know how evil and how diabolical these people really are. That's my interest. I'm very forgiving toward Putin in regard to this. And I think we have now reached a point where due to the activities of Nuland and Biden Sunak and Boris Johnson and these Schultz and van der Leyen and all of these other people, that this is why we are now seeing these English language warnings coming from the RT in regard to some of these very, very astute Russian national security analysts with all the credentials in the world saying in English, it could come to this. And I know they don't want it to come to that. No sane person wants it to come to that. But on the other hand, I think they are conveying to Nuland and the rest of these people, if you think that ultimately we will back down, you're wrong. And, and Dugin, Alexander Dugin, last night in this Wolf in the Moonlight, a wonderful two-hour documentary that is on Tubi, T-U-B-I. In 2018, he was asked by this Nicholas Rooney, who I believe is probably British. If I'm misreading that, I apologize to Mr. Rooney in advance. But he asked Dugin in regard to, well, if all of these things play out, it would you, Mr. Dugin, with your philosophy, your theology, your commitment to Russian Orthodox Christianity and so forth, if it came down to an ultimate question of Russia's national survival, would you, Alexander Dugin, if you were in the driver's seat, so to speak, would you push the button? And Dugin, without blinking an eye, said yes. And I think he wasn't kidding. Now, I think he's a decent man, a compassionate man. If he said that in 2018, I'm sure he would even be firmer in his belief now after the murder of his daughter last year on August 20th, right? And all these other war crimes. Yeah, by exactly. And I have no doubt that Kirill Budinov, the head of the Ukrainian GRU, Military Intelligence Agency, was the ultimate brainchild behind this, along with one Ilya Ponomarev, former a member of the Russian State Duma, who is an unalterable opponent of Vladimir Putin. He's an Atlanticist, presumably a Zionist. He's been doing a lot of things with Kurt Weldon of GOP, Zio Global Homo fame, doing these things, productions together with the Foreign Policy Institute of Philadelphia, which is a Zionist front from start to finish. So Dugin understands this. I think Putin does now. And certainly the one presumes that Gerasimov and Shoigu will understand what I think General Surovikin understands. And that is that the time is going to come. The gloves are going to have to come out. Come off. We have no choice. And if they want a real war, we're going to give it to them. And
I was just going to shift gears a little bit here. Sure. And I heard your Dankoff report from last Friday, and maybe I'm reading between the lines too much, but it seemed to me that you're rather favorably disposed to the candidacy of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Would you like? Am I reading you correctly?
Yes, and let me explain myself to our RBN audience on this. Of course, I will again on Friday. By the way, the Federal Election Commission contributor list statistics come out on June 30th, the initial ones. It'll be interesting to see how Kennedy stacks up in fundraising against some of the other people running in this particular situation. Senator RFK Jr. and I totally disagree on this abortion question. He is pro-choice within the first trimester. I'm totally pro-life. I think he is in favor of the Second Amendment, but with what kinds of reservations? I would suspect that my position on guns would be far more solid against the gun grabbers than what I'm guessing Mr. Kennedy's view would be. But I'm going to take a chance on Kennedy. I'm going to enter the Texas Democratic presidential primary and vote for Kennedy on one issue. Well, actually, two issues. One, he's not Joe Biden. And anything that can legitimately hurt Joe Biden leading into a general election is something I support, as long as it's legal and it's legitimate, obviously. I'm not talking about doing things that are illegal. The second thing is Kennedy clearly has the best position on this Russian-Ukrainian war of any of the candidates. And I think Kennedy, in his foreign policy speech at St. Anselm's College the other day in New Hampshire, on the 60th anniversary of his uncle, John F. Kennedy's very famous peace speech in June of 1963 at American University, RFK Jr. is connecting these dots. He understands, it seems to me, unless he's a liar, and I don't think he's a liar, he understands how serious this is, how dangerous this is, how unnecessary this is, and he is trying to be the lone voice in the wilderness on what's going to end up quite likely in World War III if something doesn't intervene. And at this juncture, I'll support Kennedy in the Democratic primary on that basis alone. What will I do in a general election? If Kennedy pulls off a miracle and gets the Democratic Party nomination, we'll wait and see who the Republicans run. I'm not guaranteeing that I would vote for Kennedy in the fall of 2024 if he's running against a candidate of my historic party, the Republican Party, but I'll just have to wait and see. But I am going to vote for Kennedy in the Texas Democratic primary. And frankly, for all of you anti-war activists out there on both the populist left and the populist right, and I think I said this, I believe I said some version of this, Patrick, in that Dankoff report that you referenced from, June 23rd, Friday. I'm urging everybody who is truly opposed to the Zyokon foreign policy and who recognizes how close we are to a third world war that will not simply involve Putin's Russia, but the Chinese and the Iranians will factor into this, potentially India as well. And when you start choosing up those kinds of heavyweights, all of those, with the possible exception of Iran, are nuclear powers militarily. Iran might soon be one. But if you oppose a third world war for no viable reason, and if whether you're a liberal or a moderate or a conservative or whatever you are, independent, Democrat, Republican, vote Kennedy in a Democratic primary in your state. What you do beyond that, well, just remains to be seen. But I'm going to do it in the Democratic primary in Texas. Now, what I do in the fall of 2024 remains to be seen. If the Democrats give us Biden again, then obviously I will vote for the Republican candidate, however much I may be sick in my stomach in doing it, depending on who the Republicans nominate.
Okay, very interesting. In 2020, because Trump had the nomination wrapped up, I voted for Tulsi Gabbard. I actually was... did some paperwork to run as a Tulsi Gabbard delegate, but
she's better looking than Kennedy. You know, I will say that.
She is better looking. I think so. Jim Hoff, that Gateway pundit, I think he prefers Kennedy, but you know, that's just the way he swings.
Tulsi, for you Gabbard fans out there, folks, and obviously I'm well to Tulsi's right on all kinds of other subjects, but in terms of war and peace, my views would largely coincide with Gabbard and Kennedy. Tulsi Gabbard has emphasized, and I watched, I believe it was a YouTube video on this, Patrick, she emphasizes that the candidate that the globalist establishment is terrified of is not Trump. It's not DeSantis, it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and I think that she's right.
Yeah, the global establishment, or the globalist establishment, the Zionist establishment, they're not afraid of DeSantis. I mean, DeSantis is probably, to a large extent, their boy. I think they're afraid of Trump in that, okay, they beat him once, but he's a wild card. Who knows what's going to happen? maybe he would be very easy to beat again, or maybe not. You never know. Trump is a wild card. It's in the deck of cards. The Trump card is a wild card. So you never know. I've gone to a number of Trump's rallies, and who knows what it's going to be like. And he might just run away with the nomination. He probably will just run away with the nomination, and the Republican primaries might wind up being very meaningless if unless things change a lot. Because right now he's way out in front of everybody, whereas Kennedy is coming from behind. Joe Biden, I mean, honestly, at his age, who knows what's going to happen with him? I'm not trying to be morbid, but he could drop dead at any moment. I mean, anybody can, but especially Joe Biden.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Couldn't catch them down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Who knows what's going to happen with him? I'm not trying to be morbid, but he could drop dead at any moment. I mean, anybody can, but especially Joe Biden. It's bizarre. And then he's got that joke of a vice president. I guess it's impeachment protection? Was that what he was thinking? Impeachment?
Yeah, I think Chlamydia Harris may well be his impeachment protection. And of course, don't worry, folks. If Chlamydia should become president of the United States, she has a well-connected Jewish husband. So don't worry. She'd get a good war started, I would suspect.
And there will be no penicillin for us.
That's right. With none of us could get penicillin. By the way, Patrick, I got to get this in. It's totally tasteless. But today, by the way, in my video promo for this show, I was emphasizing my own historic success with women over many, many decades. And I took this great quote, which either this Russian or Serbian lady sent me. Got to give her credit for sending it to me, folks. Alexandra Opalik on VK. This quote comes from Guillaume Fay of Sex and Deviance. Quote, all you ladies who basically, you've heard all these stories about how many ladies were after me when I was in my youthful prime before I got married. And it just, of course, 99% of that is all lies. But nonetheless, here we go. Generally speaking, this is Guillaume Fay of Sex and Deviance. Generally speaking, women despise submissive men that they are able to command and hope they will revolt. Dominant women are waiting to be dominated by a man even stronger or more brutal than themselves, even if they never find him, unquote. Now, between that and Sabrowski's recent effort for UNCE on feminism, I was telling Dr. Sabrowski, you know, if Kennedy doesn't get nominated and if the Republicans really stink it up with whoever they nominate, then we need a Sabrowski-Dankoff or Dankoff-Sabrowski ticket. At this particular point, using Alan's recent article on feminism that's on UNCE, using this incredible quote from Guillaume Fay of Sex and Deviance, and I suggested to Dr. Sabrowski that if we really worked the campaign trail, we could come in with lower poll numbers among women than Pat Buchanan. So at any rate, that quote from Guillaume Fay, author of Sex and Deviance, that's great stuff. All you listeners out there, get your copy of that book so that we can see what other bizarro stuff is in it. But at any rate, had to get that in.
All right. Well, you got it in, but we're out of time now, and I really want to thank you for joining me, Mark.
What do you mean we're out of time? I've got 1:51. I thought we got to talk trash for another 9 minutes on this show.
Because this is recorded, and I have to insert the commercial breaks.
I see.
Our being needs to earn a living somehow.
Yes. Very good, sir.
Can't just let us bloviate for a whole hour.
That's right. That's right. Well, the Pope, I'll talk about this on Friday, the Pope's artist, favorite gay artist that he invited to the Vatican for a personal visit is Andres Serrano of quote-unquote PISS Christ fame. His famous painting of a crucifix of Jesus Christ submerged in urine. That's Pope Francis's latest contribution to ecumenical dialogue, both East and West.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me, Mark.
All righty.
I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.